I feel led to continue the burden the Lord gave this morning, but like wasn't able to finish it, that the Lord would have us to continue with what I believe His burden is for us today. Spoke a little bit about our faith, about the necessity of it, that it's more than just an optional thing in life. It's more than just a nice to have or something that sometimes in class, maybe there'd be a little extra thing you could do to get a few extra bonus points. Faith isn't that. Faith is our survival. Faith is what anchors us and holds us and that'll keep us until the end of life. And the Lord looks very seriously on our faith and on what we put our trust in, that we see God for who He is. We started this morning about some thoughts about how great and how mighty God is, the fact that He's able to speak a word and it lasts eternally until He overturns that. He's able to speak the universe into existence and set things in motion that still today operate according to His plan. And it gives us great hope. It gives us comfort to know that He's our God. To know that the enemy that would plot our destruction has to deal with Him. He's got to be able to go through Him to get to us. And I would that our faith would be inspired and challenged to see God for who He really is. Because He's more than just a namesake. He's more than just a motion that we go through of approaching Him. But you know, it'll affect the way we approach Him, how we see God. If we have a relationship with Him, to be able to see Him for who He really is, it'll affect the way we come to Him. Scripture says that we are to come boldly to the throne of grace. If you're convinced someone can give something to you, that they have the power, that they have the ability, you ask more boldly than you would if you were just sharing a need with somebody that could do nothing about it. But we come to the Lord with a confidence and with an assurance that I know He's well able to supply all of our needs. So I'd like to begin this afternoon in the book of Mark again, but I'd like to look at the 6th chapter. Mark chapter 6, we read in the 9th chapter this morning about the man who brought his son to Jesus and felt like no doubt he was out of options, didn't know what else to do. The disciples hadn't been able to help him, and he said, "Lord, if Thou canst do anything." And the Lord, in turning that around, pointed out quite clearly, it's not whether I can, but if Thou canst believe, all things are possible unto him that believeth. So I'd like to look here at the 6th chapter, beginning in the 5th verse. It says, "And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them." That sounds pretty mighty to me. But you know, I want everything the Lord has for me. If the Lord's got something more for me, I sure don't want to say it. I've had enough. No thanks, I'll just settle for the leftover. I'll just settle for a little portion. When the Lord says, "I've got so much more that I want to be able to do for you." But in all the power that God has, and all of the strength that He has and the ability to speak a word and a situation change, He's put us into a place that we have the ability to limit God on our behalf. And the scripture says here that He did not many mighty works. Didn't just say He did not. Said He could there do no mighty work, save the few things that He did. Because of their unbelief, He was limited in what He was able to do, what He was able to perform among them, What he was able to accomplish in their midst, he was still able to work. He was still Jesus. But he wanted to be able to do so much more on their behalf. And I have to wonder sometimes in my life, Lord, how have I limited you in my life? Have there been places that I've restricted what you've wanted to be able to do? And I'll still work with you every way that I can. But I don't know if we fully comprehend what the Lord is able to do with somebody that fully trusts in Him, that has a faith that does not falter or waver before Him. All things are possible, He said, with God. And if thou canst believe, all things are possible. We have access by faith to God. We have access to the power that God has to be able to harness that, to be able to utilize that. But the Lord requires a faith on our part, a belief on our part, to be able to access that, to be able to touch His throne. Ephesians 1, I'd like to tie in here. Ephesians, the first chapter. The 19th verse says, start with 18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power. Oh, would that you be able to see, He's saying. Would that your eyes would be enlightened, and may God help every one of us when we approach Him and come to His throne, that I not come to Him like the man that said, well, Lord, if you can do anything, Lord, if you're able to do anything here, but that I come unto Him boldly, that you might be able to know what is the exceeding greatness. That's a lot of superlative there. The exceeding greatness, the abundance. What does the scripture say about unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think? He's able to far surpass our expectations. Let's not limit the Lord. The song says, my faith, O Lord, ascends to Thee. May we not try to bring God down to the level of our faith and limit and restrict Him and what He's able to do because of a small faith. But say, Lord, help me that my faith would increase, that my faith would ascend unto the Lord, what He's able to do. The Lord was restricted. What He was able to accomplish among them, how many more things might He have done had they had the faith to receive it? And my burden for us is that we be in a place that the Lord would be able to accomplish all that He wants to accomplish in our lives and in our midst. I believe and I know that the Lord is still the same today as He was yesterday, and He'll never change for us. The condition that the Lord places upon it, as He said unto the children of Israel, if you will obey, I will be your God and you will be my people. If you can believe, I've got many things that I want to be able to do with you and among you, and to be able to work effectually among you. But He needs a people who are strong in faith, who don't stagger in unbelief, but a people who are willing to put their trust in Him. That is the foundation of our walk with the Lord. It's what will anchor and what will hold us all the way through. Spoke about the way that the enemy is trying to attack that foundation. He's trying to undermine it. He's trying little by little to go beneath the surface and try to erode out from under it the very shoring of our faith, the very foundation of it, so that whenever the storms of life come, it's anytime's a good time to pray. Anytime's a good time to recognize I have a need and I need to seek the Lord about it. But the time to really seek the Lord for an increase of faith is not whenever I'm facing the fiery furnace. It's before when I've been building a relationship with the Lord on my knees, because I've got to go into that thing with a foundation. I've got to have something that'll hold me and anchor me that I can stand upon Whenever I'm facing the lions, whenever I'm facing the fiery furnace, whenever I'm facing my afflictions or my tests that the Lord puts me into, I've got to have something that I can stand on at that time, a foundation. Our faith will be evidenced. It'll be evidenced in the way that we approach God. The way that we trust in the Lord. The Lord we can see is takes very seriously where we put our trust. He took very seriously where the children of Israel placed their trust. Took very seriously their unbelief. Whenever they drew back, whenever they were not willing to go all the way because of a heart of unbelief, and they drew back and they limited what God was able to do with them. Whenever David numbered Israel, spoke about here recently, David numbered Israel and God was sorely displeased with David because I want you to put your trust in me. And we can look at something like that and say, why is that so serious? But I want us to realize the things that we see with our eyes, the outward observances of what we would call trusting in the Lord, is just the fruit of a tree that's already been planted. It's something that's already being evidenced of what should already be there. Trusting the Lord is not something that's just an outward thing, but it's something that is a relationship that's anchored in the Lord. That's of a revelation of who God is, a persuasion of what God is, a conviction that He is well able. When I come to the Lord in prayer, that we don't look at prayer as being just a last resort thing. Whenever everything else fails, if I can't do anything else, well, I guess I can always pray about it. But that we would see God for who He is. I'm convinced that if we see God in His proper light, we won't see prayer as something that's a weak, helpless thing to do. That'll be the first place that we want to go, because I know the power that's in God. I know the power that He has. I know what the Lord is able to do. I've seen Him work, and our faith is built. Our faith is built little by little, and the Lord wants it to be something that is personal for every one of us, that I've built this relationship with the Lord. I've anchored myself in Him deeply, so that whenever those tests come, I'll have something that I can rely upon, because it's more than just David counting people. There are so many aspects of trust in the Lord. Don't feel like we'll be able, or that the Lord is trying to accomplish here, listing through all of those. But folks, whenever we have faith in God, it'll be evident in our lives. It'll be evidenced in the way I approach God, in the way I approach life, in the way that I handle things that come to me in my life, what I do with those things, where I turn whenever I'm in trouble for help. Whenever I have my trust in the Lord, as the Lord desires, as the Lord desired from David, don't look at the numbers around you. Don't look somewhere else. It tells me that there is a wrong way to go about it. It tells me if the Lord has commanded us and asked of us to put our trust in Him, there is a way that I can live my life that is contrary to that. There is a way that I can live that is not putting my trust in the Lord. The Lord would have us to find our all in all in Him. I'd like to consider for a little bit one of those ways that I believe the enemy is trying to undermine us. I'd like to turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. This was a message to the children of Israel, but I believe it's a message of our time. Deuteronomy 6, and beginning with the ninth verse, "Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which He sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shall swear by his name. Beware whenever you get to the land that I'm bringing you to. You know, it's talking about here of a land that had some convenience with it. The Lord had given to them things that had already, the work had already gone into it. The labor had already been done. The vineyards had already been planted. There was a place of danger for them in that. And do you know, there's a place of danger for us in our day as well. I believe part of the tactic of this undermining or this erosion of our faith is that of self-sufficiency. That we can get into a place that in our society, in our generation, in our nation, everything that I have, it seems like, is at my disposal. And with convenience. I can order up just about anything I can imagine, and with 2-day shipping, it's at my doorstep. Just about anything I want to order, and now I can call the grocery store and tell them what I want and drive up to the curb, and there it is waiting for me, already bagged up. That's nice. I'm not preaching against conveniences and technology and things, but I am saying to us, this scripture applies to us in our day. Beware, take heed unto us in our day, in our generation. The Lord didn't call us in the 19th century. He's called us in this day with the grace to be able to love the Lord with all our hearts in this day, with the technology and the things that have been given to us. Oh, there's a place to have wisdom and discernment of the things that we are to touch and the things that we should not touch. There is a way to use the world in a proper way without abusing it. And there are things the Lord says there's no good in that. Don't touch the accursed thing. But the Lord would have for us in this our day to know how to love the Lord, to know how to trust the Lord in the times that we're in today, whenever it seems like all of my needs can be supplied. I know what to do. I know the phone number to call. I know where to go to get what I need. When's the last time that we had to earnestly get down on our knees and beg the Lord, Lord, where's my next loaf of bread going to come from? Lord, how am I going to feed my family tonight? I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. Folks, there is a plan. I'm not saying the Lord wants us to go to a condition of poverty. I am persuaded in whatever place the Lord puts us, therein we are to prosper. But we need to be able to have the wisdom and understanding and the grace of God to know how to prosper in this day of plenty. To know how to prosper spiritually in this age that we're in, of convenience, of prosperity, of everything's at my fingertips, that we are a very self-sufficient people in our time today. That can begin to bleed over into spiritual things if I'm not careful. That I begin to feel a self-sufficiency. I begin to feel like I can handle this. And you know where some of those dangers are? It's that undermining process where the enemy comes in little by little in clandestine efforts to try to undermine a little bit by a little bit. It's not always in the big things where you're told you have 2 weeks left to live and I know I've got to trust the Lord. But folks, trust in the Lord is living for the Lord. It's a day by day experience. And it's manifested throughout our lives in the decisions that I make, in the phone calls that I receive, in those things that would get me all worked up inside. Trust the Lord. Those things where I've got to make a decision and I don't know, trust the Lord. Those things where I don't know how this is going to work, trust the Lord. Where I don't know what tomorrow's, trust the Lord. The Lord wants to teach us day by day in our time what it means to trust the Lord. Because we don't start trusting the Lord when the cancer comes or whenever the Lord takes a loved one. I need to be able to learn little by little before the swelling of the Jordan. I need to be able to know how to run with the footmen before I contend with the horses. I need to be able to learn how in this time to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. How easy is it so many times to say, oh, I've got this one. I can figure this one. I know how to handle this situation. Lean not into thine own understanding. Lord, I need your guidance here. I'm reminded of David. Whenever David sought the Lord, one place, I believe it was the Philistines he was up against, he said, Lord, shall I go up against them? And the Lord one time, I believe, told him yes, and the second time said no. Wait. But even though the Lord had already given him a victory once, he still stopped and waited and asked of the Lord, Lord, guide my steps here. I don't want to take anything for granted here. I don't want to just assume I know what to do, or I know how to handle these kind of things. I know how to handle these situations. I've got this. I'm self-sufficient. Maybe I would never say those words, but I can get into a place as evidenced by a lack of urgency to pray, as evidenced by a lack of the feeling each and every day, I need to seek the Lord. Lord, I need your help for this day. I need wisdom to be able to get through this. That I can take things for granted. I can have a sense of self-sufficiency that the Lord doesn't want us to have. He wants us to learn how to wait on Him, to trust in Him. So David, when he asked of the Lord the second time, he said, No. It's a good thing David asked. How many times might I assume I know the answer and rush headlong into something? The Lord said, if you would have trusted, what more might I have been able to do for you? I'm challenged this afternoon that the Lord be able to do more in my life. I don't believe it's a function of praying that the Lord have more power. Praying that the Lord do mightier. Lord, why aren't you working in greater ways? The Lord hasn't changed. The Lord is still the same today. And He's looking for a people who are willing to put their all in the Lord's hands. That are willing to put their trust in the Lord's hands. Heard after the message this morning of how we as a people, we tend to like our options. We tend to like to have a fallback plan, a plan B. If this doesn't work out, and you know one of the biggest questions I believe the enemy likes to try to undermine us with, that I can come to the Lord and I can pray, Lord, do this for this brother, and Lord, do that. Folks, we have some serious needs among us. We have some serious afflictions among us and things that we need the Lord to move on a scene. And I can go and say, Lord, would you help this brother, help this sister. Lord, help me with this problem that I have. Lord, glorify your name through this situation. But I don't want to just go through the motions. I don't want to just come to the Lord and ask Him just because it's what I need to do. And that I remember and almost get into a thing of a road or a routine that I go through. But I want to come to the Lord fully persuaded and convinced, as Abraham was, that what He promised He is able to perform. And that we stagger not in unbelief. One of the questions that I believe the enemy will try to present to our minds to undermine is, what if He doesn't? You ever had that? Lord, I know you can, but what if He doesn't? Lord, I know you're able, but what if He doesn't? You know, trust in the Lord is not, I don't believe, as much about saying, Lord, I'm going to believe hard enough that I know it's going to happen exactly like I'm expecting it to happen. I believe real trust in the Lord is saying, Lord, you know best. Lord, I know that you're God. I know that your ways are above my ways and your thoughts are above my thoughts. As the Hebrew children said, oh, what an example, what a model for us. Whenever they came before the king and he said, oh, I'm going to throw you in there. The fire's next. It's the only thing that's left for you. Our God is well able to deliver us. They didn't hesitate. They didn't say, well, I think God might be able to. Well, there's a chance. It's a gamble, but Lord might just be able to squeak this one through. He's well able to do it. He's well able to deliver us from whatever the fire that we might encounter in our lives. But that wasn't the extent of their faith. Their faith also went to the point of saying, but if he does not see fit to do this, my trust is still in him. We are not careful to answer you in this matter. So I dismiss the thought that the enemy brings. Dismiss the questions that he's trying to come and undermine my faith with. To cause me to question, to cause me to doubt. Well, this didn't work the way that I thought it would. Why is prayer not working? No, Lord, I believe in you no matter what I see. As Job said, he knows the way that I take. And though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Folks, that's the faith that God wants us to have. He's not looking for a faith that's just a big demonstrative faith and we get together and if we can pray loud enough and hard enough and jump and really put enough enthusiasm behind the prayer, that's what's going to make it happen. That's not it. The Lord is looking for a life that is that of an effectual, of a righteous man. With effectual, fervent prayer of one that comes fully persuaded. As Paul said, I know in whom I have believed. And I am fully persuaded that he's able to keep that I've committed unto him. I know him. I know who he is. How do you do that? You don't have this kind of faith by having a long distance relationship with the Lord. You don't have this kind of anchor and foundation whenever you get to the storms of life. By following the Lord afar off. But it's as I am close to the Lord. And I've been talking to him. And I've been listening to him. And he's been teaching me little things along the way. Day to day things. What it means to trust the Lord. And I've been listening. And whether I see the whole picture or not. The Lord's building something in me. Building us up on our most holy faith. And the Lord's building and establishing. The Lord knows what's ahead of us. He knows the way that we take. He knows the next bend around down the road, the next corner that I'm about to face. And the Lord knows how to prepare us for those places. He knows what I need whenever I get to that point. And if I trust in the Lord, put our all in the Lord's hands, commit our future to the Lord. See, Mike's coming back to me about Katrina's mother. Whenever she was facing some of the tough battles that she was going through towards the last, and seemed like the enemy was battling her and trying to bring fears as he'll do to every one of us. And I remember we were trying to talk and pray with her. She was wondering, if the Lord allows me to go, what's it going to be? How am I going to go? Is it going to be unbearable? Am I going to this situation or that condition or this horrible scenario of leaving out of here? How terrible is it going to be? She knew some of the condition of her body and what it might could be. The Lord doesn't ask us to plot out our lives. The Lord doesn't ask us to chart our course. The Lord simply asks us to trust. Put it in my hands. And we saw her do that. And we saw the Lord take her. We saw whenever it came down to that time that the devil had been roaring and trying to cause such a commotion and a turmoil about. The Lord already had it. The Lord already had it taken care of. But folks, we can expend so much of our energy worrying. And I'm not going to tell you, I'm in a place that I've gotten beyond all worry, all fear. I believe you'd probably find anybody. Been walking with the Lord saying from time to time, I've got to battle the same things. From time to time, I got to have the Lord remind me, I'm still God. I've still got this one. I'm still in control. Just rest. Just trust. Just take your hands off and let me work. But how hard it is to be still. How hard it is to be still and let him be God. Be still and let him work without putting stipulations on him, conditions, timelines, without trying to force him into the path that I think that he needs to take. Lord, I want to be someone that you can work without hindrance. I don't want to be someone, I don't want for us as a people to get into a place that the Lord is restricted. He's handicapped in how much He can work because of our unbelief. Hebrews 3. Third chapter of Hebrews. It says, the 12th verse, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart. That sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? Not me. No evil here. An evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I don't want to have a heart of unbelief. I don't want to have a heart that succumbs to the pressures of our world, a skeptical world, an unbelieving world, a world that has a natural explanation for everything, a world that has a natural alternative to God for everything in life. Some other place that you can turn to, some other way that you can handle the situation except for God. And maybe we still leave God kind of up on a shelf somewhere as one that we still pay some homage to or some lip service unto as God that we still want Him to be able to work, but yet my life doesn't bear witness and testify to the might and the power of God. I believe the Lord still wants to be able to show Himself strong. I believe the Lord still wants to be able to heal. And the Lord is. Part of the way the enemy works is to try to cause us to forget the things the Lord has done. To try to forget the Ebenezer stones the Lord has given and focus on the places that it doesn't seem like the Lord has answered prayer. He would like for us to get into a place that my faith starts to wane. Starts to falter. I'll still pay lip service to it. I'll still pray. I'll still ask the Lord to help. But it's not really where my trust is. The Lord's the one that knows where the trust is. The Lord's the one that knows where I'm putting my trust. And He desires, I believe, from every one of us, that relationship where I look to Him. And I believe it's not about getting the cart ahead of the horse. It's about knowing the Lord. Whenever I know the Lord, as I've said before, to know the Lord is to love Him. To love the Lord is to trust Him. If we have a love for the Lord, and what does the scripture say? It's not circumcision, it's not uncircumcision, but it's faith, which worketh by love. That's how this whole thing works. By a love that I have for the Lord and a full persuasion of who He is, of what His character is. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, and I'm persuaded of that. I know the one in whom I have believed. May the Lord help us in our time to be able to be a people who are strong in faith. To be a people that the Lord can be well pleased to come move and work in the midst of. But hand in hand with it comes consecration. Hand in hand with a trust in the Lord is about more than just I want to watch the show. I want to see the Lord do great and mighty things through me. But it's about coming to the place that I can consecrate, Lord, have Your way. Lord, I'm Yours. Have Your way. Whatever may happen, I dismiss the fears and the questions of tomorrow and the questions of what if the Lord doesn't. Lord, I'm in Your hands. And I trust in Your wisdom. I trust in Your plans for me. That's what's best. And though the world may gainsay trusting in the Lord, Folks, the Lord requires it. Without faith, it is impossible to trust in the Lord. I'd like to close with one scripture I believe is important. Mark the 9th, the 2nd chapter. Talked about some of the danger of self-sufficiency. The danger of being in a place that we can provide for ourselves, that we can take care of things ourselves, or so we think, even in spiritual matters. You know, the Lord still has a way of touching all of us. Every one of us feel pain. Every one of us knows to some extent what sickness is. I'd like to look here in the 2nd chapter of Mark. Jesus, this is the man that was sick of the palsy. He was let down through the roof to where Jesus was. Jesus saw their faith, how they pressed through the circumstances and all of that to reach Jesus, and said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Well, you remember what happened then. Those that were in the crowd of an unbelieving and a hard heart, they began to recoil at that. How do you say your sins be forgiven you? And who do you think you are? And those kind of things. And Jesus, knowing their hearts, he said, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed and go thy way into the house." There was a reason. The Lord had power, and we could go into the prophecy and the fulfillment of it in the New Testament of how the Lord paid the price for our salvation and for our healing. The Lord came and paid the price and the atonement for both, that we could have access through faith into that cleansing fount that atones for the soul and that heals the body. Has the Lord lost his power? Does the Lord still have that same power and that same ability? He performed those things, he said, so that you might know. Whenever you see the power that I have to heal your body, you can realize that same power he has to save the soul. Do you realize the connection between the two? That same faith in God to heal the body is the same faith that I recognize he's able to deliver the soul. There's a danger for us that I could get into a place that I don't see the power of either. That I don't put myself in a place to wait on the Lord for the power of either. That I turn to man for an alternative of either. When the Lord is saying, "I want you to realize the power that I have. I want you to realize the power that I have." Because if I get into a place that I begin to think the Lord is perhaps deficient in one, I may consider him deficient in another. The Lord wants us to be strong in faith, whether it be matters of our life, of our body, of whatever the Lord brings in my life, that I know who he is. I know the power that he has. If I begin to lose that, if the enemy has his way in undermining our faith, it will also affect our faith in God to bring complete deliverance from sin, complete deliverance from the bondage of the enemy, complete deliverance in the places of our lives that we need deliverance. And we see it all around in our world where faith has been watered down. Faith has been changed and watered down to something that is nothing more than a lip service to God, where we also can't see God's power to really change a man. We also can't really believe that God can give you power to live free from sin, can truly change the attitude of a person, can change the mindset. Oh, may the Lord help us to be strong in faith. Because the Lord, I am persuaded, still wants to show himself strong on our behalf, to show his power through us, a people who are willing to wait on him, who are willing to trust in him and look to him, who know him and the power of his resurrection. That same power that can work through us. It's an exceeding greatness of that power to usward who believe. all things are possible to them that believe. May the Lord help us to be in a place that the Lord is not handicapped by my unbelief, by my unwillingness, by my being like the children of Israel, where I look at the giants and say, nope, not for me. I can't go that far. I'm not. Instead of looking to a God who's bigger than any giant, looking to a God that's bigger than any circumstances we could ever encounter. The Lord, and the scripture says, exhort one another daily. Stir up one another's faith. Inspire one another by the things the Lord's done in my life and what He's done for you, to testify one to another, to encourage one another. And I need the Lord. Every battle's a new battle. Lord, I need something fresh today for this battle, Lord. And maybe I can do like David, and I encourage myself in the Lord and look back at the things the Lord has done, or remember a testimony I heard one brother or sister give in prayer meeting. Yes, yes, the Lord can do that for me too. The Lord's still the same today. He can still take care of this for me. Oh, I remember one time whenever I faced a lion in the way and a bear. You know, that giant looks just about like a bear to me. He's defying the Lord our God. In the name of the Lord, He's coming down. That our faith would be building up ourselves in our most holy faith. The Lord is well pleased in a people of faith who are willing to trust in Him and wait on Him. And I'm challenged, like the passage in Malachi chapter 3, talking about the tithes there. But there it said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. See if I won't open up the windows of heaven. What might the Lord be able to do? I know it's exceeding abundantly above what I could ask or think. He's already promised that. What might the Lord be able to do if I'll just wait and trust in Him? I desire your prayers for me, because you know how the devil will work. I'll be praying for faith the next turn. But folks, the Lord has it for us. He has that relationship in a place that we can be built and established in Him, that we won't be moved. Amen.